Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining me now is David Halperin, who is the Director of Campus Progress at the Center for American Progress. Campus Progress is devoted to supporting progressive activists and student journalists on college campuses. David Halperin is a former speechwriter for Bill Clinton and Howard Dean. He has also worked as an attorney and consultant for such groups as Public Citizen, Greenpeace, and Democracy for America. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Halperin.
Thank you, Ian. I'm glad to be on the show.
And it's a startling and alarming statistic to learn that the student debt in the United States is greater than the consumer credit card debt. That seems to me to be a national shame, given that most of the student debt is federal money, that the taxpayers' money that has been given by the government to private entities who then charge students extra for the same federal money that they could get a lot cheaper. And they end up with this saddled with these enormous debts. And we can get into the issue of the quality of the diplomas they get in the meantime. But just to look at this broadly, do you share my outrage?
There's real concern about students taking on debt at all kinds of institutions, whether they're nonprofit colleges, public colleges, or for-profit colleges. The biggest concern right now is about for-profit colleges, which are the most expensive, which often have low-quality programs, which are leaving many, many students deep in debt and often not even able to get a job based on their training. And even if they do get a job, they may not be able to pay back their loans. We're creating a situation where people's lives are being ruined and where potentially we have a bubble, subprime-like bubble situation where there could be serious financial repercussions of the whole thing. So there's a lot to think about here, and there's a lot of reform that's needed.
Well, of course, that's why I'm talking to you. The reform efforts that have been underway, and the Obama administration said that they were going to make some changes because they apparently felt that this was an unfair situation where the taxpayers' money is being essentially given to entities with political connections who are then able to charge this same money back to students and make enormous profits out of it. And in the process, they've created these enormous lobbying organizations. Now, where does this effort stand? Because what we're hearing now is that the Obama administration may well cave into these lobbyists and the restrictions and reform is going to be watered down.
Well, there was a particular rule that was issued a few weeks ago on gainful employment, and that was a rule that said that the premise of it is that students shouldn't be able to, we shouldn't be saddling students with such tremendous debt, and the programs that are leaving students so deep in debt shouldn't continue to be eligible for federal grants and federal loans. What happened was the rule was issued, and it was watered down, and it is significantly weaker, and it will be easier for bad programs to survive under this version of the rule. And the administration is saying, it's actually being somewhat candid about this, that they felt that Congress, if they'd had a tougher rule, might have overruled it. Now, the reason that Congress might have overruled it, I would submit, is not on the merits, but because, as you suggest, so much lobbying is going on and campaign contributions are being provided to people who are sympathetic to the cause here. Many of these schools get 90% of their money from federal financial aid. That means they're lobbying to basically harm students and harm taxpayers with money that was provided by students and taxpayers, mostly taxpayers. And so it is a tremendous shame. But my position is that even though the rule is weakened, it still will affect the school's behavior. The schools still have to worry about being in that bottom 5% of programs that will be penalized by the rule. In addition, 11 states, attorneys general in 11 states have joined together to investigate the fraudulent conduct of for-profit schools. Private actors are suing, and the media, frankly, has done a tremendous job in the last year because this debate's been going on, uncovering what's been happening with for-profit schools. Also, many organizations such as ours, consumer groups, civil rights groups, educator groups have all joined together to say that we demand accountability on behalf of students and taxpayers. So even though the rule is weakened, I think that this business model, which for many schools has been basically about scamming students and scamming taxpayers, is going to have to end, and schools are going to have to be more responsible and more accountable.
Again, I'm speaking with David Halperin, who is the director of Campus Progress, and we're talking about the Obama administration's efforts to reform a system where federal money is given out to private entities who then loan it back to students, and these private entities have proliferated. I take it one of the biggest ones is a part of the Washington Post company, Kaplan University. And I take
it that is correct.
And that Donald Graham, the chairman, has been lobbying heavily on behalf of this association of these schools. And my further understanding is that the people who are most complaining on the Hill are Republicans, and two-thirds of the monies that these lobbyists give out go to Democrats. So walk us through that.
Well, first of all, Mr. Graham, he's everywhere. When I call a Senate office, he's either coming or going. He's at the White House. He's been here at our offices. He's just everywhere personally lobbying on this. And he's a respected person. People in Washington don't want to believe that he'd be associated with an institution that is behaving irresponsibly. But if you look at it, an article in the New York Times, you can look up New York Times and Kaplan on your Google, and you'll find that Kaplan has behaved in some very bad practices and done some and made the lives of many people worse. And again, doing it with federal money. As far as Republicans versus Democrats, a good number of Democrats, but not by any means a majority of Democrats, voted when there was a vote in the House of Representatives on this issue, voted with the for-profit colleges. And it does have to do, I believe, frankly, not always with the merits. It has to do with building up friendships with those Democrats among for-profit colleges. And I think on the merits, Democrats and Republicans should be looking out for fiscal responsibility, for protecting taxpayers and protecting students, and not wasting money on programs that ruin students' lives. So it's a serious issue that members of Congress are, and it's almost shocking that they would be defending this position. If you look at who's been hired as lobbyists for the for-profit colleges, many, many prominent Democrats have been hired because Democrats are good at lobbying Democrats and telling Democrats that everything's okay, but it's not okay. And lobbying for the for-profit colleges or voting with the for-profit colleges is an abdication of responsibility for people who are supposed to be serious people concerned about public policy that serves the public good.
So when conservatives say, as they often do, particularly when they're running for president, as the Republican candidates are, one of their litanies is to get rid of the Department of Education. And to my mind, if the Department of Education is just giving out money to all these for-profit universities, maybe they should be eliminated. What's the logic to that? If the government's going to subsidize education, why not give it to the really good schools that are out there that are demonstrably good and open them up for students rather than these diploma mills where the kids get substandard education, take on massive loans, which is they're loaning back taxpayer money that's been marked up. You get a better deal from the mafia, for God's sake.
Well, you know, on that point, schools are doing a couple things. They're getting the student loans, which are not ripping off the students in terms of the rate, in terms of the program, yes. But the student loan system was just reformed, so it tends to be helpful to students. But what these schools do is, sometimes even if students are eligible for those loans, they will go ahead and promote instead. They've already promoted their subprime school. Now they're promoting their subprime direct loan from the school at a subprime rate. So taking advantage additionally of the student, they're doing it a second time. We don't want to abolish the Department of Education or federal aid to education because in this country, your background, your family wealth shouldn't determine whether or where you can go to school. That should be based on merit and working hard and opportunities for strengthening our economy by getting people into the system. So the problem is, though, when you do support programs like this and wasting federal money, and not all programs in for-profit schools are bad. I know of some that are very good, but many of them are bad. The point of these rules is to only support the programs that are helping students. But when you do that, it does call into question the whole enterprise, and that's why we're so determined to see that federal aid stop going to programs that are ruining people's lives and instead be focused on programs that are helping students learn, get skills, and strengthen our economy through their economic activity.
So, David Halperin, do you have any idea of how much federal money goes to these for-profit schools?
I do.
Well, tell me, because
I'm increasingly involved in this issue.
Sure. Well,
about $40 billion a year in federal grants and loans go to for-profit colleges, which is not to say that $40 billion is wasted, because, as I said, some of the programs are good. But I can also tell you this. For-profit colleges have 10% of United States students who are in college. They get 25% of the federal financial aid. And they are responsible for nearly 50% of the defaults on loans by students. And that's because their prices are high, they're as high as the fanciest private schools, and their quality can be low. And so people go in, spend a lot, and get very little. And we've met these students, and we've seen how their lives get ruined by getting sucked in through deceptive recruiting. Then they get reported to authorities as successful, even though they haven't been placed in a job, so fraudulent reporting. Then high prices and dismal, and you know, a student came here who was a Navy veteran. We did an event with him up on Capitol Hill, and he said that he didn't think anyone was actually reading his homework. He was getting an A-plus on all his homework at the school ITT Tech. And so he was writing in his homework, is anybody looking at this? If so, you know, call this number or send me an email. No response, because nobody was looking at it. And a lot of these cases, once you're past 4 weeks, and they can book you as a student who signed up for the course, all their recruiting of you and all their handholding of you goes away. They hope you'll go away, and they no longer care because they've got the money. And a lot of this is as cynical as that. It's a straight-up swindle, and the people who are doing those should be ashamed, and the people who are defending it here in Washington, D.C., especially people who call themselves progressives and liberals and Democrats, should be ashamed.
Well, this is absolutely outrageous, and it's particularly cruel when you've got these aspirational kids, particularly ones out of the military who've served this country, who want to get an education and who think they're getting an education, and the taxpayer thinks that they're paying for this kind of stuff, but yeah, they're actually enriching these people who put up a shingle, and God knows what kind of services they provide. Now, I'd like to also know, if you have an answer to this, David, what is the percentage of the federal money, this $40 billion, that goes to these for-profit schools? Because I see them advertising all the time on television. Are they using federal dollars to advertise and suck people in?
Sure, and also to buy advertisements, saying that don't have a rule that will limit college choice. In other words, trying to oppose the gainful employment rule and other efforts to hold them accountable. That's all paid for by you and me. We put up an ad. I've got a young woman on our staff who just made the video, in a couple hours without any expense. And we put up an ad here in D.C. It's actually kind of cheap to buy TV time in the morning on Fox and MSNBC and CNN. We put up our ad. And it kind of knocked them off their feet, I guess, for a second. So they then, the industry or some representative of the industry, started paying people to say that Campus Progress must be being paid for by the Wall Street short seller Steven Eisman. Even though we'd already said we had no connection to him, had no money from him, they said, how else could we be paying for our multimillion-dollar TV ad campaign? Well, they had the multimillion-dollar TV ad campaign. We spent $4,000 to produce and run our ad on TV for 4 weeks. But they engaged in anonymous fake letters to all our partner organizations saying that we must be under the thumb of this Wall Street short seller. They made similar attacks against former government officials from the Department of Education, saying that they must be controlled by the short sellers and behaved improperly. Just these are dirty tricks, again, financed by American taxpayers, because most of the money that for-profit colleges have comes from American taxpayers. So it is, again, one of the most shameful things I've ever seen. Senator Harkin said the most intense lobbying campaign he'd ever seen. Now, of course, you see similar ones from Wall Street, you know, at the Banking Committee and at the Energy and Commerce Committee on oil and gas issues. It's part of an effort now, part of something that young people whom I work with, I'm not young, but our staff is all young and our community is all young, are concerned about, which is increasing dominance of Washington by businesses that don't actually have a legitimate point of view, but that use resources to pump up their message and campaign contributions to gain allegiance by members of Congress. It's a very serious issue. Our democracy is being bought and sold increasingly by increasingly powerful special interests here in Washington. And I've worked here for 25 years. I've worked in government. I respect private enterprise. I respect people who work in business. I know plenty of my friends have started successful businesses, but it's the Washington part. It's the coming here and defending untenable positions such as this one, and sometimes even winning, as you say, in Southern California, because they have the money to do it.
Well, David Halperin, the young people that you're talking about that you work with and work for, they were swept up with all the hope for change with Obama. And as you know, a lot of them are disappointed, and certainly only 140 million voted in 2008, only 75 million voted 2 years later in 2010, which has changed the Congress. And we don't know what's going to happen in 2012. But in terms of the people that Obama put into the White House to be advocates for the students that we're talking about today, Cass Sunstein's the guy in charge, right? And it doesn't sound like, I mean, the criticism I'm hearing is that he's rolled over for these lobbyists. He hasn't been tough enough. You're saying that at the end of the day, it's better to have a watered down regulations than none at all, because the Congress wouldn't stomach anything stronger. So tell me what kind of a job he's doing, and Sunstein, and in terms of the whole idea of hope and change. And
yes, we don't know where exactly this rule got gutted inside the system. We haven't really tried hard to find out, because we do work closely with these folks. Some of them I know are definitely trying to do the right thing. They do face, I don't really think they ever had a progressive Congress to deal with, and that's their position. I think progressives should stand up for what they believe in, fight harder. They shouldn't negotiate with themselves. George Bush always said, don't negotiate with yourself. I think sometimes from this administration they do. They think that's a smarter course. They also don't think it's helpful sometimes when people are to their left saying that they should have been tougher, even though conservatives seem to get benefit from that when they're trying to push conservative policies. They can say, look, I'd love to compromise, but I've got all these crazy people on the right. That's helpful to them. I think on our side, it's good for progressives, both inside and outside government, to stand up for what they believe in and stick to it. In this case, they pushed a compromise, but as I said, it's one piece of a larger puzzle, and I think people should take heart that far more people understand, because we had this debate, that many for-profit colleges are ripping off students and ripping off taxpayers. And 11 state attorneys general are at work exposing these frauds. Private lawyers are doing it. Journalists are doing it. Our organizations, all kinds of groups from the NAACP and La Raza to Consumers Union, which were not part of this discussion, are now very strongly, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, we're all together saying this is an important issue about education, about fiscal responsibility, about justice, and I think that we will prevail, and I think that the owners of the for-profit colleges out there have to realize that they cannot continue with this reign of impunity and irresponsibility, and that they will be held accountable, and if they can make money, if they change their business model to one that actually helps students learn and succeed in our economy.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, David Halperin.
Ian, it's great to be on the show. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with David Halperin, who is the director of Campus Progress at the Center for American Progress, which is devoted to supporting progressive activists and student journalists on college campuses. David Halperin is a former speechwriter for Bill Clinton and Howard Dean. He's also worked as an attorney and consultant for such groups as Public Citizen, Greenpeace, and Democracy for America. And I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing, Kim Nassiter, and Ian Rowe. I'll be back on Monday at 5 p.m. with another background briefing. Bye for now. One time, one night.